"Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law" is an ethical code that has seeped into our culture, infiltrating Hollywood circles and spanning to the highest tiers of our power structure. It's known as the Law of Thelema, found in the writings of Aleister Crowley. And while some have labeled Crowley the wickedest man in the world, others have affectionately dubbed him the most notorious occult magician of the 20th century. So who was Crowley, and does he really deserve the title of the wickedest man in the world? Or was he just a spoiled rich pervert with nothing else to do? Well, hopefully at the end of this 5-minute video, you'll be able to tell me. Aleister Crowley's real name is Edward Alexander Crowley, and he grew up in England with evangelical Christian parents, even attending a Christian boarding school growing up. Crowley's life did a 180 when his father died of cancer. His father's death marks the start of Crowley's dysfunction, accented by a growing hatred of his mother and the church, which spiraled into destructive behavior, drug abuse, and an obsession with sex. From the diaries of Aleister Crowley, he recalled this period of his life and his resentment of the church as this: "I wanted sin, a supreme spiritual sin, but hadn't the slightest idea how to go about it." So Crowley separated himself from his pious start, publishing his erotic and lewd poetry while at Cambridge, documenting his rapidly growing obsession with promiscuity. There at Cambridge, his interest in magic, secret societies, and the occult ignited, and thus his desire to become a black magician manifested, which became the driving force propelling him throughout the rest of his life. The Golden Dawn, a secret society of literary and other notable figures, wasn't enough for Crowley. He craved a darker variety of magic, and practicing dangerous rituals with risks of setting loose evil spirits sort of satiated his hunger. But he wanted more. More sin. More power. At whatever cost. Crowley joined covens, but never stayed in them, due to his lack of respect for the practices of the coven, as well as his homosexual inclinations. He also became a high-ranking Freemason, holding membership at several lodges and gaining several Masonic degrees. On his honeymoon, Crowley and his wife visited Egypt. His wife was said to have encountered a deity or a spirit or a demon on their honeymoon during a ritual they did. When Crowley prompted her to reveal what spirit she encountered, she showed him an exhibit at a museum in Cairo. The exhibit's number? 666, the number of the beast in the Book of Revelation. And despite his well-published and documented dabbling, or really, submersion into the occult, he was hired by British intelligence as an agent. He even played a major role in the plot to overthrow the government of Spain. Crowley's use of drugs is noteworthy, not only his self-medicating, but also his drugging of others, unbeknownst to them. He would invite individuals over for dinner, drug them, and document their behavior. Crowley's role in World War II involved propaganda. He became the editor of a pro-German magazine called The Fatherland, pitched ideas to help the Allies, and dropped occult pamphlets to the German countryside, which painted the German leadership as satanic. Thus, his prowess in propaganda might explain why his practices and teachings are still in vogue today. An emphasis of Crowley's teachings is sex magic, which is really part of a formula in rituals that make use of sex itself as an integral element. Crowley identified sex as the most powerful force in life, and the supreme source of magical power. Now that we have all the facts laid out, let us discuss some of the theories surrounding Crowley and his impact on the world. Crowley was recognized by the BBC as the 73rd greatest Briton of all time. Perhaps one of the most intriguing theories surrounding Crowley is the theory that he is Barbara Bush's father, making him George W. Bush's grandfather, meaning that Barbara Bush was a product of sex magic and occult blood exists within our United States presidents. Another theory is Aleister Crowley's connection to the founder of Scientology, L. Ron Hubbard. And beyond that, Nathan Crowley, an admitted cousin of Aleister, was the set designer for Dark Knight Rises, which featured the name Sandy Hook in the film before the event even took place. So was Aleister Crowley overhyped? Are we giving him too much credit? Was he really the wickedest man in the world? Despite his depravity, despite whatever he dabbled in, despite his practices, he was still in the inner circle, and they accepted him with open arms, kind of like they do today.
By 1924, Crowley was living in poverty in France. An old friend and famous literary figure and occultist, Frank Harris, kindly took him under his roof. Frank Harris lived with a woman by the name of Nellie O'Hara. If what has been written in later years can be believed, Nellie had a friend in America, Pauline Pierce, who was married to Marvin Pierce, head of the McCall Corporation. In early 1924, Pauline traveled to France to stay with her friend. Thus it was that four individuals came together: Frank Harris, Nellie O'Hara, Pauline Pierce, and Aleister Crowley. According to Crowley's diaries, during this period in Paris, Crowley underwent the supreme ordeal linked with his realization of the grade of Ipsissimus. According to a description of the rite, on the appointed day, the candidate is attended by one or more chosen and experienced attendants whose duty is A, to exhaust him sexually by every known means, B, to rouse him sexually by every known means. Every device and artifice of the courtesan is to be employed, and every stimulant known to the physician. If Crowley did go through this ordeal in 1924, then it is highly likely, based on his previous experiences, that his closest associates of that time, including Nellie and Pauline, performed as his magical assistants. Pauline Pierce returned to America in early October of 1924. 8 months later, on June the 8th, 1925, she gave birth to a girl named Barbara. Barbara Pierce married George H.W. Bush, who eventually became the 41st President of the United States. And they had a son, George W. Bush, the 43rd President of the United States. Could the wickedest man in the world, Aleister Crowley, be George W. Bush's grandfather? In 1925, Crowley received a letter from Theodore Roos of the OTO in Germany. A vacancy had become available for international head of the OTO. They had chosen Baphomet.
To the British, and indeed the Americans, I may have been a flesh-eating devil, but the Germans obviously still appreciated the law of Thelema. I was still Baphomet, an Ipsissimus. The Great Beast, 666.
On December 23, 2015, Bulliskin Manor in Scotland burned down. The house, located on the shore of Loch Ness, was formerly owned by Aleister Crowley and Jimmy Page. Here, the title of the article reads, "Former Home of Most Evil Man in Britain Burns Down." Here's some pictures of Bulliskin Manor burning down and a local TV report about the incident.
The mansion, once used for occult rituals, has been badly damaged by fire. Bulliskin House on the shores of Loch Ness was owned in the 19th century by Aleister Crowley, who claimed to have summoned demons there. The house was later owned by the Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page.
In 1899, Aleister Crowley wanted to conduct a ritual from the Book of the Sacred Magic of Abramelin the Mage. The book has a sinister reputation. It dictates that one must set aside 6 months to enact and complete a magical working whereby the practitioner can obtain the knowledge and conversation of the holy guardian angel. In August of 1899, Crowley found a suitable house to conduct the ritual, the manor of Bulliskin overlooking Loch Ness in far northern Scotland. In the ritual, one has to invoke the four great princes of evil of the world, their eight sub-princes, and their 316 servitors. This will charge previously prepared talismans. These charged talismans will enable the magician to gratify his needs and desires. Crowley planned to start the operation on Easter 1900. He took the preliminary steps of the ritual by consecrating robes, oils, and magical implements. During the ritual, Crowley said, "The demons connected with Abramelin cannot wait to be invoked. They come unsought." Crowley said his lodge and terrace became peopled with shadowy shapes, sufficiently substantial as a rule to be almost opaque. I say shapes, and yet the truth is that they were no shapes properly speaking. In 1970, musician Jimmy Page bought Aleister Crowley's old house. Here he is pictured in front of Boliskin Manor. Jimmy Page said of Boliskin, "My house used to belong to Aleister Crowley. I knew that when I moved in. The house is built on the site of a kirk dating from around the 10th century that had been burned down with all its congregation. Nobody wanted it. It was in such a state of decay. I hadn't originally intended to buy it, but it was so fascinating."
You also disclose, Barbara, George discloses something very personal about you, which he says you gave him special permission to write about. He wrote that when you once had a miscarriage, you showed him the fetus in the jar.
Now, really,
we
the
touched
truth
on
is,
it before, but you didn't elaborate.
Paolo put it in the jar.
What?
It's not in the library. No,
no, I know.
George, Paolo put it in a jar, and I was shocked when she gave it to him to... But your memory's dim a little bit, but anyway, but he was very...
You're shocked that he put it in the book?
No, he asked permission, and I gave him permission, if that's it's his book. And I think he was trying to say that he and I have a very special relationship. We tease all the time, and that's not very nice for me, but, you know, you got to tease a little bit. And he teases me unmercifully, but... We're very close.
You had differing opinions, though, on pro-life, did you not?
I don't remember.
Yes, I did.
Shh, George.
You were never
it's okay.
That fired up about it.
No.
And one of them is a poignant story you tell about your mom having a miscarriage when you were just a teenager.
Yeah.
And you were the one who drove her to the hospital, and you write, quote, "I never expected to see the remains of the fetus, which she had saved in a jar to bring to the hospital. There was a human life, a little brother or sister." You and she had never talked publicly about this story until she gave you permission,
right,
to write about it in this book.
And that's why you're asking me, because had my mother said, "Son, I don't want you talking about it," it wouldn't have been in the book. I put the story in the book as a part of the tale. I thought it was very important for people to understand my relationship with my mom.
What'd you learn about her through that experience?
One, she trusted me. And when you're a teenage kid, you know, you're kind of self-absorbed person, and your mom says, "I trust you," it's a boost in confidence. And my mom is what I learned was she's a straightforward person.
Right.
She says to her teenage kid, "Here's a fetus."
It's also, though, impossible not to draw parallels between that moment where you said this was a little brother or sister and your views on life.
That's
and
true.
When it begins.
No question that affected me, my philosophy. That we should respect life, and I was a pro-life president. But the purpose of the story really wasn't to try to show the evolution of a pro-life point of view. It's really to show how my mom and I developed a relationship.
Okay. Get ready to read all these words on this page without making a mistake. Look at the letter at the end and remember the sound it makes. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready to read this word the fast way. Get ready.
King.
Yes, sound it out. Get ready.
King.
Sound it out. Get ready.
King.
What word?
Hit.
Yes, hit. Boys and girls, sound this word out. Get ready.
Steel.
What word?
Steel.
Yes, steel. Read these words the fast way. Get ready.
Playing.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Let's read these words the fast way without making a mistake. Get ready.
Kite.
Yes, kite. Get ready.
Kit.
Yes, kit. Get ready.
Steel.
Yes, steel. Get ready.
Playing.
Yes, playing. Get ready.
Must.
Yes, must. Go ahead and go pick your reader up from under your seat. Open your book up to lesson 60 on page 153. Count of three, everyone should be on page 153. If the yellow paper is going to bother you, drop it. Thank you. Everybody touch the title of your story. Fingers under the title. Get ready to read the title, The Fast Way. We're waiting for one member. Thank you. Fingers under the title of the story. Get ready.
The pet go.
Yes, the pet go. Fingers under the first word of the story. Get ready to read the story the fast way. Get ready.
Commitments now that we're up to about $3 billion. The American government will probably be called upon to do the most for long-term reconstruction. I just think of what happened, for example, when Central America was devastated by the hurricanes when I was president. We spent almost $1 billion of the taxpayers' money out of their pockets. And if I could just make one other point about that, because you asked if it was a worldwide effort. Because of the internet and because you can make contributions over the net, a small amount of cash pooled with others can do an enormous amount of good. You had AOL and Apple, for example, using their position on the internet to help collect small contributions. I think AOL put together about $7.5 million in small contributions in a day.
And President Bush, it's cash over items, right? If you're going to give
right
give,
now
give
it
money.
Is Larry, right now that's true. President Clinton and I accompanied the president when he went to pay his respects. We all did, signing the books at the various four embassies of the countries that were affected. And all of them made clear that the best thing you can do is to send money at this time as opposed to goods, because there's no delivery problem. Sometimes the goods can be acquired in a neighborhood nearby, or sometimes the goods that might be sent from here might not be exactly what's needed. The medicine might be different. So we've concluded that the best thing to do is, as President Clinton said a minute ago, to give to these organizations or give, send it into to USAFreedom.gov and FreedomCorps.gov and let them help distribute it. But the main thing is, it's better at this juncture to send cash, and I think they all agreed with that. The embassies.
Yeah, Larry. Let me just give you an example. If you look at the pictures of the airport in Colombo in Sri Lanka, it's full. You literally, I don't know how they're going to get all the crates off of the airport site that they have. There's a wonderful Buddhist temple here in New York where the monks have been. Now, if he went now, he'd just be in the way. And I know he would, because, you know, you'd have to take all the Secret Service people. You'd have to take up all these helicopters that could be otherwise out there delivering supplies. And I think it's the wise decision now to send Secretary Powell and Governor Bush and the FEMA director and whoever else went, and let them look, make reports, and then provide the help that's necessary. It might be that sometime in the next couple of months, he would want to go.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the web.
Number 322?
First of all, he's not the nominee. But I look forward.
Are you prepared to lose?
No, I'm not going to lose.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets, Tim, but one thing is not a secret. I disagree with this president's direction that he's taking the country. We can do a better job, and I intend to do it.
And we'll be watching. Be safe on the campaign trail. John Kerry, thanks for joining us, and we'll be right back.
You have the doorway here.
Yeah.
Okay, then to the right, you have a hedge, and then you have an evergreen tree. If you follow that line straight back, courtyard's in there.
Okay.
So
that's where they have the ceremonies. In
the outdoor part of it. Part of it was indoor. So we only got to see the outdoor part.
Right.
We only got to, and to listen to the outdoor part. God only knows what went on indoors.
And what did you hear? What was it you know? You managed to get this unique
access. It was disgusting. It was gross. I mean, they were pretending to murder people.
What was the tone of it, though? Was it jokey?
Vicious.
Or was it funny?
No, it wasn't jokey at all. It was sick. That's about the only way I can describe it. It was sick. Get the phone now!
What you're hearing is the first recording ever made of the Skull and Bones initiation ceremony. It has never been broadcast before. As the chants too, difficult to hear first of all, but including the devil equals death, and death equals death.
Then members performing a mock killing.
We can find the order behind the Russian Revolution, the Bolshevik Revolution. We can find it behind the rise of Hitler. We can find it in the maintenance of both of these systems, the transfer of technology to both.
Since you've already proven that Wall Street is behind the Bolshevik Revolution and the rise of Hitler, now you're proving that the order is behind Wall Street.
Exactly.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America? The conspiracy theorists are going to go wild.
I'm sure they are. I don't know. I haven't seen the webpage.
Number 322?
Tim Russert, the moderator of Meet the Press and NBC's Washington bureau chief, collapsed and died early this afternoon.
Let's go on with the subject of the Illuminati and its symbols. You will find the symbol of this secret society on the back of a $1 bill.
He told me that you're going to see men running around caves looking for Osama bin Laden. You know, you're going to see men looking for, you know, these guys, and they're going to be, you know.
He told you it was all going to be pulled.
You know, it's a phony. The whole thing is a fake. It's a fraud.
Was he laughing, or was he just coldly saying this?
No, it was more laughing. Cynical. Laughing. You know, it's more like, how stupid everybody is. How stupid everybody. We can do whatever we want to do.
Hunt down those people who committed this unbelievable, despicable act on America.
I will get our troops home. We will bring an end to this war.
I have determined that it is in our vital national interest to send an additional 30,000 U.S. troops to Afghanistan. I do not make this decision lightly.
All of us who have served in this office understand that the office itself transcends the individual.
these families are therefore simply vehicles of these demonic entities. And these gods are these entities which feed off human energy and feed off human blood too. And they're just continuing to do today covertly what they were openly doing in the past. And ultimately, they are possessed by these entities.